Killing in You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
The clock with its past falling down, or the dance, that's a dream.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with my partner for our weekly entertainment segment in and around Mid-Michigan. Sing it, Ken. Ken Glickman is here.
Sorry,
it's just like that MGM movie, right?
That's it.
With the same
Judy
name.
Garland, man.
Absolutely. We have talked about a lot of different things in terms of theater, but there's something before we get into that and introduce our guest in studio. We want to talk about a show you saw last night, and you loved it, right?
Yeah, I really did. It was the first concert for the MSU Music School. You know, this is one of the great jewels of Lansing that is so cheap. All the concerts for MSU, world-class performers, $10. And very, very inexpensive. And this was the first day of classes for Michigan State, and they thought they'd kick it off with the famous, and they've really become quite famous, the Michigan State University Professors of Jazz. Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful jazz group that features...
This is world-class stuff now.
It really, really is. Warm Daddy Anderson, Etienne Charles, Diego Rivera, Rodney Whitaker on bass. You can't get better than Rodney Whitaker on bass.
I got to tell you one thing about Warm Daddy. Have you been to Gumbo and Jazz?
You have told me about this, and
if you haven't been there yet,
I've not been there yet. I got to go.
All right.
And Randy Gillespie on drums, and then they invited a great New Orleans jazz piano player by the name of Henry Butler. Henry Butler, in 1974, graduated from Michigan State University in voice and in music, and now he's a world-renowned, fabulous jazz piano player. So he was with them. And I was at the Poussin Theater, and I don't know how many people have been to the Poussin Theater, but it's the smaller of the two theaters at Wharton. And Wharton was initially planned to have three theaters. The third theater was going to be a 1,000-seat hall for opera and for recitals and all kinds of stuff, which would have been wonderful. But it was cut down, and now we have Poussin, which holds 600. And, boy, it was a packed house, and everybody was excited to be there. The music was fabulous. He is so – I've never heard of Henry Butler before, and I was blown away. And then in the middle of it, Butler said, geez, I met a new person last night, and I'd like to have her sing a song. It was Rodney Whitaker's wife, Raquel, and Raquel sings gospel. And she came out and sang a gospel song. And it just she brought down the house.
They're going to do this every year now, right? Would you guess?
Well, I talked to Jim Forger, who's the dean of the College of Music, and he said this was such a success, so we're going to do this every year, first day of classes, jazz concert.
Right.
And I said, Jim, great idea. So
Michigan State becoming known as a jazz hub, and I just saw the big special on television. They had a half hour on this.
Oh, it's really wonderful. And these guys and the professors of jazz, they are just wonderful together. But I don't want to talk about that today. I really want to
introduce our guest in studio, if you would.
I do, and this is the beginning of all these. All the seasons are starting right now. All mm-hmm. the theater seasons and the orchestra seasons, and today we're going to have Chad Badgero, and I'm really excited about having him here because he has the guts to go out and for community theater. He has chosen a rather provocative and rather edgy musical. Now, provocative and edgy usually doesn't describe musicals, but in this case it does. Caroline or Change. And it's usually just a Caroline or Change. And Caroline or Change, written by Tony Kushner, who also wrote Angels in America, one of the great plays mm-hmm. of the 20th century.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it opens next week. And Chad, why don't you tell us a little bit about this show and why you chose it?
Absolutely. Thank you for that intro. That was great. I'm so excited to be here today. You know, it's funny when you say that that shows like this aren't done very often, because actually a lot of the musicals, that's technically the challenge, or you know, that we find at Peppermint Creek, because to have a mission statement of to address current issues in our society while...
Chad, let me interrupt you for one second, because you mentioned Peppermint Creek, and I want to say that this is a duo production of Peppermint Creek and Riverwalk Theater, and I did not mention that, so
I'm sorry, thank you. And we wrote a grant through the Arts Council of Greater Lansing to do a collaborative, it was a collaborative arts grant, and so we were granted that early in the spring. And so as this is a collaboration with Riverwalk, which is really exciting for me because Riverwalk was the first place I ever did community theater outside of Mason. I'm from Mason. And so it's
and
thrilling.
And what was the play that you did?
West Side Story.
Oh, well, what do you know?
Yes, indeed. So, were you a
jet or a shark?
I was a jet. So it's really nice to be back at Riverwalk and on their stage, and it's wonderful to be working with them. So it's been a great collaboration so far.
Why don't you tell us about the plot
Absolutely.
Of Caroline or Change?
Yeah, it takes place in 1963 in Louisiana. And, you know, in 1963, there was a whole lot of things happening in America, and namely in this play or in this musical, they're struggling with the civil rights movement. So within the context of just in the time period that we see in these 2 months of time in the musical, there's Martin Luther King and many of his speeches, as well as the assassination of JFK. And so it largely those centers that all that's happening outside of the home that this musical actually takes place in, which it really revolves around Caroline, who is an African-American maid who works in the house of a Jewish family. And so it's largely about her relationship with the young boy in the family, Noah. And I don't want to give it too much away, but it's largely about how his mother's just passed away, and his father's married one of her close friends. She comes in and she's annoyed that Noah can't remember to take the coins out of his pockets before he puts it in the laundry. And so she makes up a rule that she thinks will help him fix this problem, which is anything you leave in your pockets, Caroline gets to keep. And so this kind of creates an interesting and I think very stage-worthy
tension.
Yes. Well, and I think that the title is very, very clever on the behalf of both Tony
Double
Kushner
meaning.
And Jeanine Tesori, in that you've got Caroline, who is very resistant to change in society. I think she's afraid of what that means and where the country's going. And then on the flip side, you've also got her daughter, her 16-year-old Emmy, who is just enamored of the movement of Martin Luther King and really believes that it really invested in the sort of movement forward for African Americans and for the country as far as civil rights. And so there's that change. There's the change as far as the actual physical money change that's involved. Mm. So it's very clever, and it's a powerful, powerful musical.
What's the style of the musical, of the music itself, Chad?
It's all over. I think that there's a lot of classic Broadway stuff in there, but Tony Kushner comes at it from a place of he's a playwright. And so when he had kind of already written the story before he actually approached the composer and said, I want to make a musical of this. And because I think that
it's his first musical.
It is, yeah. And he is, you know, in reading his sort of biography, he's really deeply invested in opera, in the world of opera. And so, and he cites that as being a huge influence in his life. And so he really actually wanted to write he wrote Caroline or Change and then hoped to have it be done as an opera. But then as he was shopping it around and he talked with the director of the original production on Broadway, George C. Wolfe, at the Public Theater. And he said, no, this can't be an opera. You need it to be a musical. I don't think it can do this story justice. And so they shopped it around and tried to find someone that was right to write this musical. And they found Jeanine Tesori, who's wrote things like Shrek the Musical, also Thoroughly Modern Millie. But she has she's all over the place as far
so
as
she's got a real
level.
Pop feel to her.
She does. But, you know, that's what's great about this. You get a lot of the sounds of Motown in it. There are a series of inanimate objects that not come to life, but are personified in the musical. So the radio.
Sounds like Tony Kushner.
It is. Well, and he has an amazing way with words. It's a beautiful, beautiful script. But the radio, the washing machine, the dryer, the bus, they all like have voices in the show. So, you know, you get that Motown feel because it's in the Jewish family's household. There's a lot of like klezmer music and that sort of because it's around Hanukkah and they're celebrating that. So you get that sort of flavor as well as like those big Broadway numbers as well. So, Yeah, so it's a tremendous musical. It was, you know, when I chose it for this season, like most of the plays that after I'm done with them and they're the most fulfilling, it starts from a place of extreme fear and almost panic of how am I going to mount the show? How is this going to be done? And are there the right people?
Well, how did you find your cast? I mean, I understand it's very demanding.
It is. And musically, it's up and down, and it requires some really powerful voices, particularly Caroline, who just sing. Almost the entire show is sung, and but it requires her to just have this really powerful, just emotionally.
Who is she?
Her name is Tiggy Heptamerium. She is local. She actually.
No, what's her real name?
That is her real name. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Tagista, I think, is her real name.
Yeah, right.
And she actually is phenomenal. I've known her for a few years, and just has really. I've said this before, and I want to say it on the air. That I mean, literally, she opens up her mouth, and angels fly out of her mouth. I mean, you get to the 11 o'clock number in the show, which, you know, for those of you who may not know, that's like, you know, halfway through Act Two when it's the climax of the show and the characters at their peak. And it's just this big, belty, huge, you know, emotional number. And, she's been singing the entire production, and it has this heart-wrenching number that still, and we open next week. I've been with the show now in rehearsals for over 4 weeks, and I still cry. It's like so amazing. She has this ability with music, and almost the entire cast is that way. It's like I've been so lucky, because there's always this fear of, am I going to get the right people? I've chosen the show that I really believe in, and I really believe in for our season, but are there people that can play these roles, that can pull this music off? And I've just been so lucky. I mean, there's four kids in the show, which I have not done before, and that was like scary to say the least. But the kids are all like so utterly talented and energetic and wonderful. Have brought this great feel to the show, and just this really wide range of some people that have never been in a show before, have only sang in their church choir.
So, how big is your cast?
There's 16 people.
Uh-huh. And you told me that John Dale Smith is doing the music.
He is. Yeah, we're so lucky. I've worked with John Dale for quite a few years, and so I'm lucky to have him. He has an innate musical talent that like can pull this music off. So.
Chad, I have to ask you one question. You've done a number of these kinds of shows, and some of them are not the conventional normal show that we see, which is a great thing for this area. But how often do you do a show, and you pick the show, and you have no idea who's going to be in it? Because a lot of times directors are kind of casting around people.
Yeah, it's common. You know, I've had to really fight to choose shows that I believe in and choose a season that I believe in and then trust that the right people are going to come. You know, last year's musical was very, very much that way. We did Altar Boys, which I, again, in the same manner, I mean, it's only five guys, but in the same as Caroline, it was this fear of where am I going to find, you know, Altar Boys was basically five boy band members that are like, you know, in a Christian boy band group. And I thought, where am I going to find these five guys that can sing like in sync, dance, you know, like crazy, and just look the
part. I heard it was great. I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, thank you. And it was a tremendous experience. But the right people just came, you know, and sometimes I know people and I can encourage them to audition. But other times you just kind of have to have faith. And it's interesting with Caroline, the auditions came and you know, for example, Noah, who's also one of the leads, I mean, got to be this 10-year-old kid, and I thought, oh, please let a 10-year-old who can like pull off like a lead role and all in this crazy music, please let him come. And you know, and it wasn't like I got 10 10-year-olds that came.
You only need
I didn't
one.
Even get three. I got one 10-year-old, and thank goodness he was exactly right. So it was great. It was great.
Well, it was. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. You know, I don't think Lansing gets into the challenging and the modern musicals enough. We do the old War Horses all the time, and I'm really looking forward to this. So this opens next Thursday.
Next Thursday at Riverwalk
at
Theater.
Riverwalk.
Yep. So it runs Thursday through Sunday both weekends. So
through
the 19th.
Well, good luck to you on that.
Thank you so much.
Terrific. I'm glad to see the collaboration with the theaters.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. It's been great.
Chad Badgerow, our guest in studio. I want to thank Ken Glickman, our area arts and entertainment contributor. Ken, thanks so much for being here.
You are welcome, Jack.
All right, we'll be back with our final segment. Jack and Scott Ebling and you, 1320 WILS.